Good evening. Glad to have you all here tonight and be continuing our series in Exodus. I've enjoyed our time there. It's been a couple Sundays since we've been in there, but last time we looked at Exodus chapter 6. And this week we're really beginning this series of plagues that are going to come through Egypt. Moses and Pharaoh have kind of gone back and forth a little bit, really God and Pharaoh through Moses, have had a little back and forth, and God is escalating the pressure. God says, all right, it's time, you're not listening. And as I thought about how to approach these 10 plagues and how to kind of go through all this information, I decided on, instead of focusing on each individual plague themselves, we're going to talk some about why these plagues happen and the circumstances that surround them. So tonight we're really going to try and look through a lot of the material in Exodus chapter 7 through 10 and kind of quickly focus in on why all of this is happening. Why does God send these 10 plagues? Or really in chapter 7 through 10 we see just these 9 first plagues. And I think a lot of the answer to that question goes back to Pharaoh's question in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. A question at the heart of everything the book of Exodus is about. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? This question is one that a lot of people have asked through history. Who is God that I've got to listen to him? It's sometimes a question that is sincere, but a lot of the time it's a question that's not really seeking to know God. You know, if my question is that I have to listen to him, then it might be the feeling that I want to do what I want to do. You know, I can do what I want to do. I have that right. I've got free will. Who is God that he's going to tell me to do any different? I am my own God. I follow my own desires. Who is he to be the boss of me? And the question of Pharaoh is the question I think our culture, our society, so many people are still asking. And so God's answer to that question has got to be important. That's an important question. Who is God that we should listen to him? And in the event of these plagues, I think God is sending these to teach Pharaoh and ultimately to teach the whole world who God is so that they will hear his voice. Exodus chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, declares that that is God's purpose. If you'll read it with me, Exodus 7, 3 through 5 says, "But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt. I will bring my host and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment." Now listen to this next part. "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." What God is saying is that these plagues that are about to fall on Egypt are acts of revelation. And you know, I say revelation, you probably think of the book of Revelation, but what that word means is just a revealing of who God is. A revelation is a message revealed to the Apostle John from God. These plagues are a form of God showing himself to Egypt, to Israel, to the whole world. And there's a purpose to what he's doing. And we should consider this because there are 10 of these plagues. And, you know, why doesn't God just start with plague number 10? If the goal is merely to get the people of Israel out of Egypt, wouldn't that have done it? Why not just go straight for this most severe thing and get them out of there? Why have these chapters, chapter 7 through 10, of getting to that final plague? And I think the answer is that God is trying to teach while he's doing this. He's teaching through these plagues. So what is he teaching? And I think the first point that God's trying to teach in chapter 7 through 10 is that the people need to recognize his authority. They need to recognize that God is the Lord. We just saw this in verse 5 of chapter 7, but notice that God keeps on saying this throughout these first 9 plagues. In chapter 7, verse 17, God says, "By this you'll know that I am the Lord." He says it again in chapter 8, verse 22, and in chapter 10, verse 2. Around several of these plagues, he repeats this line, "I'm doing this so you'll know who I am. Listen to me." The people are supposed to see the power of God, to recognize Him, and to pay attention to what He's doing. Romans 1 talks about this same thing in verses 18 through 20. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and His divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made." So they are without excuse. What are the people of the world to see? They're supposed to see the eternal power and the divine nature of God. You know, Pharaoh doesn't seem to understand that this is the God who made the world and rules all things and has all authority. And so God's trying to show him that. He's trying to make sure he gets that message. They're supposed to see who God is. And interestingly, that happens to a lot of people in Egypt. By the time we get to the third plague, gnats, the magicians, are already confessing, okay, that's God, that's more than us. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 19, the magicians say to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he doesn't listen to them, as the Lord had said. When we get to the seventh plague, we see that even some of the Egyptians are starting to get the picture. They're starting to hear. They're becoming believers in the message that God is giving, that He's in charge. Moses declares that the next plague is going to be hail, and everything not brought in the home is going to die. You know, God gives a way of getting out of this. He has Moses warn them, okay, if you leave it outside, it ain't going to make it. Take it in, cover it up. This is an opportunity for them to demonstrate, are they listening? Are they taking God seriously yet? It says in verses 20 through 21 of Exodus 9, "Whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. And whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and livestock in the field." So God's whole point here, He's trying to teach them. He's trying to get them to see Him. His goal is to get the people to know the Lord and believe in Him. I think that's the first goal God's doing in these plagues. But I think a second goal of God's revelation here is to reveal to all of them that there is no God like God. There is no fictional belief out there like our God. No thing that they believe in matches His majesty and power. Most recognize that these plagues, if you look at them, they're an attack on Egyptian religion and Egyptian gods. Moses records, in fact, that is the case in the book of Numbers, which I didn't really know till this week when I was looking at this. That was interesting to me. I'd always heard that, but I'd never noticed there was a point in Scripture that directly says that. It's in Numbers 33, verses 3 through 4. Moses is talking about what happened in Egypt and the Passover. And he says, "On the day after the Passover, when the people of Israel went out triumphantly in the sight of all the Egyptians, while the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, on their gods also the Lord executed judgments." You know, Moses says these plagues, they weren't just a judgment on the Egyptian people, but it was a judgment on the Egyptian religion as a whole. The goal of the plagues is not, though, that we would go through them and show how each plague attacked one particular deity. I've seen people try to do that, but you got to keep in mind, the Egyptians had a lot of different pagan gods they believed in. They had well over 100, and these different deities represented a lot of different things. And so these 10 plagues really just show that God has authority over all things. You know, these pagan worshipers believed that their deities took on different aspects of creation. You know, one of their gods might be in charge of the sun, others the water, others health, others rain, and on and on. They believed that their gods might have taken care of certain regions. You know, this god takes care of this city, and this god takes care of this city. And they ruled particular areas. And God just comes in and says, no. There's one God. I'm in charge of all of these areas, and I have the power to affect any part of creation or any area of this country. God shows them that every aspect of creation is under His authority, and that you can't run from God, that you can't leave His rule or His presence. I love how God talks about this in Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. It says, "But for this purpose," Egypt, He's talking to Egypt, "I raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. God says, look, you know, Egypt's the mightiest nation in the world at this point. And God's the one that raised them up and made them the mightiest nation in the world. And he gave them a choice. You can listen to me and demonstrate to the rest of the world that I am the true God. Or you can ignore me and I will use you as an example. But I raised you up to show the world who I was, to show them I am different than any of these gods you believe in that don't exist. And I think what God does here, when he shows that he is like no other God, gets after one of the difficulties of our faith, of our belief in God. It's a funny thing about Christianity that's really always been true, but it's difficult for people that are not Christians. Our religion is confrontational. Christianity is confrontational. God is confrontational. And one of the reasons that belief in our God has been difficult for the world to accept through history is that our religion is narrow. We believe we are right. You know, I believe we are right. But in Christianity, there are no ifs or ands or buts. You know, there's not really any compromise. What God does here in Exodus is something our society really struggles with the most when it comes to Christianity, because he destroys the idea, I'm going to use a fancy word here I learned in college, of what they call religious pluralism. And what that really means is he destroys this idea that all religions and beliefs are valid. Christianity is not a religion that accepts the idea that all religions and beliefs are valid. You know, we try to be respectful and kind to people as we're showing them that there's actually just one God and one way, you know, to be. But we don't actually have the right to live however we want according to God. We don't have the ability to say that we can pick how we want to worship God. And God is destroying this religious pluralism in the plagues to demonstrate there is really no other option. There is no God besides him. There aren't multiple ways to come to him. The plagues show who this God is and why you have to listen to him alone. It's because he's the only God with power and authority, the only one that's there. I think back to the great confrontation on Mount Carmel between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. You know, they're calling out to their God, and Elijah says, all right, you know, let's just see which God is real. And the point of this confrontation is show there's only one. You know, whatever else you believe, it's not real. And I think that is a powerful, important part of our faith. It's something we believe deeply in, and it matters, but I think it's always important to realize when we're talking to people that that is a confrontational view. You know, we're trying to help them to change because we believe there is a better way to be. Now, God has taught them that he is the one with authority. He's taught them that he is different than any other false god they believe in, that he is the only real God. And I think the third reason that God performs these plagues is so that his name and power and glory are going to get proclaimed throughout the whole earth. If you look at Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, God says, but for this purpose I've raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You know, it basically says as much. This is why I'm doing this, so that the world will see who I am. In Exodus 10, 1 through 2, God says this again. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians and what signs I've done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. God says, look, I'm doing this for a lot of reasons, and one of the reasons I'm doing this is so that Egypt will know, and so that you will know, and so that your grandchildren will know, and the whole world will finally see who I am, that I am the one God. He's trying to display his own glory so that they'll see him, they'll recognize who he is. This was so important that God instructed the people of Israel to remember what God did in Egypt, to teach their children in the following generations how God did this so that they will know that he is Lord. When God institutes the Passover, which we'll get to in Exodus 12, he's going to declare the same thing, that this is to be taught from generation to generation, teaching each new generation who God is and what happened in Egypt. God wants his name proclaimed throughout the earth, and it begins by teaching the next generation about the mighty works of God. And I think, you know, this isn't just the way that God continues to teach the Israelites who he is. I think even us today, we read Exodus, we learned about the power of God, but we also kind of read the challenge there that, okay, if you understand who God is, if you've seen what he's done, teach it. Teach it to your children. Teach it to the next generation. Continue to make sure people don't forget that. You know, it's this challenge of if we're not teaching our young people, if we're not teaching our children what God's done, then we've already failed in understanding why God did all these things in the first place. He did it so that it wouldn't be forgotten. And second, we are to then proclaim what God has done to the world around us, not just our young people, but everyone, about who God is and why they've got to listen to him. We talked about how God is demonstrating all these things, why God sent these plagues in the first place. But it all goes back to that question, why do I have to listen to God? You know, that's what Pharaoh wants to know. God is sending these plagues, but I don't want to hear. What's the problem? Why does the world not submit to God? Why do people, even ourselves, and I think if we're being honest, we all know sometimes we don't listen to God. Why do we refuse to submit to the Lord? And we continue to rebel. We continue to sin. We continue to do things that we know we shouldn't do. Why do we do that? Think about where we stand in God's history. Not only have we read about the flood and the plagues and the kings and the prophets and all the ways that God revealed judgment against disobedience, but we've even got the cross and the resurrection in the New Testament to know about the power of God. So why do we still struggle sometimes and not listen to his voice? And I think it's really the same reason that Pharaoh watched his nation be destroyed by God and didn't submit. Man, we're all like Pharaoh sometimes. It's this hardness of heart. That's the repeated refrain again and again from Pharaoh. You know, and it's like you read the Bible and you look at Israel and you think, I'd never be dumb like Israel. I mean, they'd unseen all these miracles from God. How could they doubt? But, you know, you look at Pharaoh, and it's easy to look at Pharaoh and go, how is he missing this? Like, each one of these is worse than the last. Is he really blind that, like, this ain't getting any better? This guy's obviously God. You need to listen to him. Our heart gets hard sometimes. Exodus chapter 7, verse 13, after some of the first plagues, says, still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He wouldn't listen to them, as the Lord had said. And you see the exact same statement again in verse 22 and again in chapter 8, verse 15, and verse 19, and verse 32, and three more times in chapter 9, and verse 7, and 34, and 35. And we reread that the Lord repeatedly hardened Pharaoh's heart as all this was happening. And you read that, and that might be a shocking statement, because the nation of Israel is crumbling around Pharaoh, and yet somehow he continues to doubt. He continues to harden his heart. Even to his servants' amazement. You know, not all the Egyptians are like Pharaoh here. A lot of them are seeing what's happening. They're listening. And they don't want this to go on any longer. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, it says, Pharaoh's servants said to them, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve their Lord. Do you not understand that Egypt is ruined? Even the people around Pharaoh are just confused. How could you still not listen? The people are clamoring for Pharaoh to just let the Israelites go because they're being wrecked by each one of these plagues. So why doesn't Pharaoh listen? Why does Pharaoh keep refusing? And what does it mean that his heart was hardened? And I think the best describer of what that means is in verse 3 of chapter 10. It says, so Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. What does it mean when it says that the Pharaoh's heart was hard? It means he refused to humble himself before the Lord. You know, that's when you get down to it, hardness of heart is kind of an abstract term. What's really happening here is Pharaoh doesn't want to lose. That's it. You know, God said, you're going to do this. And Pharaoh says, no, I'm not. And God says again, you're going to do this. And Pharaoh says, no, I'm not. The effect of sin and rebellion It's exactly what we see here. That's what sin does. It hardens your heart. Consider that Pharaoh doesn't care that Israel has a God that they serve, that Israel's been serving God for hundreds of years. Pharaoh cares that this God is telling him what to do. And Israel can believe their God, but their God can't tell Pharaoh what to do. This is a heart problem that Pharaoh is having. And this brings us full circle back to that question, who is the Lord that I should listen to him, that I have to listen to him? This hardness of Pharaoh's heart, this don't tell me what to do attitude, destroys everything in his life, tears his whole country apart. In fact, there are a few times where it appears that Pharaoh is going to relent, to let them go. But you notice that the problem becomes he thinks, okay, I can humble myself a little, but I've got to do this on my terms. Look at Exodus 8, verse 25. It says, then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God within the land. You know, there have been a few plagues, and Pharaoh says, all right, you can go sacrifice to your God, but do it within the land, which is not the deal God offered in the first place. Pharaoh says, all right, you can do this, but God's got to listen to me some too. God said they were going to worship in the wilderness and not in Egypt. Pharaoh wants God to obey his terms. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 8, Pharaoh tells them, they can go worship, okay, I'll give a little more. Y'all go worship, but not all of you. Which is, once again, not the deal God offered, not what God said was going to happen. In chapter 10, verse 24, he says, go to worship, okay, go to worship, but leave all your animals behind, you know, just in case so you'll come back. It's this hard heart. So I'm not going to listen to God. I'll compromise a little, but I'm going to win some. I'm not going to do what he says. I think what I think is best, and I'm going to obey on my terms. And the weird thing about that is that's not actually how obedience works. You know, if somebody tells me, you got to go do this, I say to them, all right, I'm going to do part of that. I haven't listened. I'm not following through here. So how does God harden Pharaoh's heart? I think the narrative of the plagues makes it pretty clear. God hardens Pharaoh's heart by offering for Pharaoh to relent and repent. God's grace is the thing that seems to make Pharaoh's heart even harder, because he keeps sending Moses to Pharaoh. That's what's really interesting about this whole thing is God initially says, let my people go, and Pharaoh says no, and God sends a plague. What does God do after a plague? He sends Moses to say, all right, you want to let him go now? And Pharaoh says no. He says, okay, we'll do it again. God doesn't just completely punish Egypt all at once. He keeps giving it Pharaoh a chance each time. And each time Pharaoh refuses, his heart gets harder and harder. Pharaoh even tries to say the right words and still can't humble himself in Exodus 9, verses 27 through 30. It says, then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time, finally, we're at a place of a little humility. This time I've sinned. Okay, this time the Lord is right and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there's been enough of God's thunder and hail. I'm not cool with this crazy hail falling from the sky, and I'll let you go. You shall stay here no longer. And Moses said to him, as soon as I've gone out of the city, I'll stretch out my hands to the Lord, and the thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. And then verse 30 of chapter 9, Moses says, but as for you and your servants, I know that you don't fear the Lord yet. You know, Pharaoh says, I've sinned, the Lord's in the right, I and my people are in the wrong. But Moses says, I know you don't mean that. I know this ain't the last time we're going to have this talk. Pharaoh says all the right things, but Moses says he knows he doesn't fear the Lord yet. And I think it kind of shows us saying I have sinned is not the same as fearing the Lord, or even the same as humbling yourself before God. We see a lot of false repentance. You know, that's an easy thing to fall into. I think sometimes we act a little falsely repentant. You know, I'm not going to say I've never come to God and be like, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, I know I shouldn't have done that, and then I go and do it again a few minutes later. People just want to say they're sorry and then not actually change the thing that they are doing. They don't want to have any of that life-changing submission, which is what the fruit of repentance is. You know, it's what repentance is supposed to lead to. It's a changing of direction. Fearing the Lord, actually listening to the Lord, means submission. It means the destruction of that hard heart that tries to obey on one's own terms. Fearing the Lord means humbling ourselves completely before God and not rebelling against any of it. You know, saying, okay, I will do what you have asked. I will listen to it. I'll do it your way. Repentance is about submission and obedience and change. So as we think about this whole set of plagues, what's going on here, I want us to consider the warning that this is giving us today. I like what Hebrews says in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. It says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it said today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in rebellion. Don't harden your heart. Our hearts are hardened when we refuse to humble ourselves before God. You know, it's when we get in a fight with God. You know, we say, I'm upset about this. I don't want to do this thing you have asked me to do. I don't want to change this part of my life. I'm not going to do it. Heart gets hard. We fight with him sometimes. It's harder when we say, I've sinned, but we don't do anything to change that, to fight against that sin in our life. Our hearts are hardened when we listen to our own desires rather than what God teaches us he wants us to do. God's revealed why we've got to listen to him. And God's grace, if we don't pay attention to it, it's just going to harden our heart further. Each day he gives you yet another chance to humble yourself and obey. And then every time you refuse to humble yourself, you get farther and farther away from him. And I think we see Pharaoh today. That's the warning we get from him. Don't be like Pharaoh. You know, when they call it the sunk cost fallacy. I've always liked that expression. It's okay. I've already got $10 invested in this thing. I can't give up on it now. It's going to take five more to fix. I'll stick five more in there. All right, well, it's broke again. I'm going to put $5 more in it. I'm going to keep fixing this mower. I don't care how much money it takes. And you can buy a new mower for all the money you're pouring into it. Sometimes in life, we get stuck in this idea of, okay, well, I made a mistake. And I don't know how to go to God and ask for forgiveness. I don't know how to change. So I'm not going to. And the next day, you think about it again, you still can't. And it gets to where, you know, it's been years since I've talked to the Lord, and at this point, I've been doing this for so long, how do I fix it? And you look at Pharaoh, and you realize he could have just let him go after one plague. If there's a problem between you and God, you can solve it now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go 10 rounds with him before you make the change. Pharaoh teaches us, just change. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't fall away from God. Submit to him. It's always better to listen to him. Tonight, I don't know what your struggle is. Maybe you feel like your heart's getting pretty hard. Like you've been dealing with something and you just can't let it go. And again, it gets more difficult. And every day it gets harder and harder to see how you're ever going to fix it. Start making a change today. Maybe you aren't a Christian and you don't understand what it's like to have this opportunity to fix some of the problems in your life, some of the sin in your life. Well, that's the case. Let us help you to make a change today. I don't know what your needs are, but if you have any tonight, please come as we stand and as we sing.